This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The government scrapping the five-day test requirement. Tourism organizations urging more protocols be dropped as well. As we learned, the government spent more than $500,000 on free testing. And gas prices creeping up closer and closer to $6 a gallon. Plus, in our interview, we are talking with the executive director of the Bahamas National Trust, Eric Carey, about the impacts we're seeing right now of change on the Bahamas. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. 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 Wake up, wake up.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Laverne Gardner will be joining us. Also, later in Morning Blend business, the government says it's getting closer to sorting out the Grand Lucayan. What the very latest is, we'll get to that and more. And more on these gas prices, that's coming up in Morning Blend business. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while we're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. Overnight, with the number of new COVID cases decreasing around the world in recent weeks, and in an effort to spur more tourist arrivals, the government will end the five-day COVID-19 test requirement for visitors to the country. Acting Prime Minister Chester Cooper confirming this yesterday. He says what's going to happen once the gazetting is done, that is in effect immediately. What we knew as the five-day test will be eliminated. He says it's the post-travel test after you come to the country. That test is going to be done for. And you'll still be required, though. Everyone will still be required to enter. The Bahamas will still require to test to enter the country. He said, quote, what we are going to offer to our guests is a free rapid test for their outgoing travel. So people require a rapid test to enter the U.S., for example, rather than having a post-travel five-day test. We will offer that as part of the Travel Health Visa Program. Meanwhile, Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell was in Belize attending the 33rd CARICOM Heads of Government meeting, noting that CARICOM leaders are being urged to scrap travel restrictions completely. He was speaking on the Guardian Radio show, Guardian Radio AM, with Quincy Parker yesterday, saying that the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association, the Caribbean Tourism Organization, are all being advised that by private sector that they need to scrap all of these restrictions on travel to the country because, quote, we are now putting ourselves in a competitive disadvantage to our competitors. We have all these restrictions. The Dominican Republic has scrapped all the restrictions. Mexico has scrapped all the restrictions. So the commercial sector in our region is saying, look, heads of government have to make the hard decision that we have to live with the virus and scrap all these restrictions. Otherwise, we're going to lose our shirts economically. Meanwhile, Health Minister Dr. Michael Darvill says the government has spent more than $500,000 on its free COVID testing initiative so far. That program began in October in Managua and has expanded to multiple locations nationwide with more than 34,000 tests across the country done to date. The cost of about $525,000. Free testing has been an important component, according to the government, of limiting the spread of the virus during the Delta and Omicron waves. Opposition leader Michael Pintard accusing the Davis administration of canceling a fuel hedging program that was instituted by BPL under the Minnis administration. In a statement from his office, Pintard saying that this must be explained, quote, especially in the face of rising fuel costs, which must ultimately be passed on to the consumers. Who was it that made the ill-advised decision to essentially cancel the program, resulting in a comedy of errors that has embarrassed the finance minister and the administration? We call on the administration to come clean and explain to the Bahamian public the fate of the unprecedented fuel hedging program left in place of BPL by the FNM administration, which has been definitively demonstrated to have saved Bahamians and the public purse about $55 million to date, as projected when the program was initially put in place. Those comments coming after BPL released, then retracted a statement on Monday announcing that customers' fuel charges will increase from 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour to 13.7 cents per kilowatt hour. The opposition leader says that we're all demanding a more believable explanation as to why the CEO of BPL would issue a public statement announcing a fuel price increase only to have to retract that statement less than 2 hours later. The BPL statement said that the fuel charge increase was unavoidable due to a tremendous rise in global prices. However, BPL CEO Whitney Hasty recalled the statement less than 2 hours after it was released. When asked about it on Tuesday, Works Minister Alfred Sears said the statement had been issued prematurely. And the Bahamas joining 140 other UN or United Nations member states to condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine and demand that it withdraw its military forces. During an emergency session of the UN General Assembly, 141 UN member states voted in favor of a resolution that affirmed Ukraine's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity. 5 countries voted against the resolution and 35 abstained. Overseas, more from Ukraine and Russia. More than 1 million people have fled Ukraine following Russia's invasion, with the swiftest refugee exodus this century. That's according to the United Nations, who says that this is all happening as Moscow is ready, or claims to be ready, for more talks to end fighting, even as its forces pressed their assaults on the country's second largest city and 2 strategic seaports. The tally the UN Refugee Agency released to the Associated Press was reached Wednesday and amounts to more than 2% of Ukraine's population so far being forced out of the country in 7 days. The mass evacuation could be seen in Kharkiv, a city of about 1.5 million, where residents desperate to escape falling shells and bombs crowded the city's train station and pressed onto trains, not always knowing where they were heading. With a column of tanks and other vehicles apparently stalled for days outside the capital of Kyiv, fighting continued on multiple fronts across Ukraine. A second round of talks aimed at ending the fighting was expected later today in neighboring Belarus, though the two sides appear to have little common ground. And more from Europe, though, the Civil War, the Cold War, rather, the Cold War and the decades since, throughout this time, nothing could persuade Finns and Swedes that they would be better off joining NATO. Until now, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has profoundly changed Europe's security outlook, including for Nordic neutrals, Finland and Sweden, where support for joining NATO has surged to record levels. A poll commissioned by Finnish broadcaster YLE this week showed that for the first time, more than 50% of Finns support joining the Western military alliance. In neighboring Sweden, a similar poll showed those in favor of NATO membership outnumbered those against. The former Swedish Prime Minister tweeted, quote, "The unthinkable might start to become thinkable." He's been a proponent of NATO membership. Neither country is going to join the alliance overnight, but support for NATO membership rises and falls, and there's no clear majority for joining in their parliaments. But the signs of change since Russia began its invasion last week are unmistakable. The attack on Ukraine prompted both Finland and Sweden to break with their policy of not providing arms to countries at war by sending assault rifles and anti-tank weapons to Kyiv. For Sweden, it's the first time offering military aid since 1939 when it assisted Finland against the Soviet Union. It was an overtime thriller, and Nathaniel Bastian and the Angelo State University Rams holding on and advancing to the Lone Star Conference quarterfinals in NCAA Division II play. Bastian and the Rams took down the University of Texas 78-77 Tuesday, play in front of their home crowd in San Angelo, Texas. The Rams outscored the Falcons 5-4 in the overtime session, getting their 20th victory of the season. Bahamian finishing with 6 points for two for four shooting from the field. He had 5 rebounds, with his 5th rebound being a key one at the end of the game that came off a Rams blocked shot. The North American, Central American, and Caribbean Athletics Association, NACAC, recently issued a very strong condemnation of a decision by Russia to invade Ukraine, essentially starting a war that will incur a significant loss of lives. NACAC saying it was extremely proud that the athletes of the world have let their voices join those of millions around who vehemently reject the Russian invasion and in seeming disregard for all norms of democracy and international law. As a member of World Athletics, NACAC has been a party to all Congress decisions to impose sanctions on Russia for the numerous infractions of the organization's competition rules and failure to satisfy all conditions required for return to full participation in global events. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, a high pressure system is building across the country. For all areas, we're looking at partly mostly sunny and warm conditions with isolated showers, becoming fair and mild with a passing shower tonight. Winds northeast to east at 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet. Temperature-wise, we are at about 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies and light rain in some parts of New Providence. Look for highs getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit today, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 64 Fahrenheit, 18 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. You'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit.
It's a new day. It's the start of a new way.
You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9.
Wake up. It's a new day.
Rent, landlords, I am ready to build.
Yes.
Home ownership is a big deal, so move in merrily with CIBC First Caribbean. With your new mortgage, you'll get half off the appraisal cost, commitment fee, and more. Enjoy up to 95% financing and a homeowner benefits card to save at selected hardware, furniture, and appliance stores.
We move in
merrily. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/movemerrily for details.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up, wake up.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC 422-4796. Standard text rate supply. We'll give you the phone numbers to call in just a bit. But once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, Laverne Gardner. Laverne Gardner, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Hey, it's March already.
It is March 3rd. We're already 3 days in.
My goodness, it feels like it should be maybe January 31st.
You know, we typically say or feel like January is the longest month, but I think I blinked twice and we were in February.
Right.
And now 3 days in March. Time is flying by.
It's practically Easter.
Monday. Yes. Monday. And another month.
Mm-hmm. This is wild. This is wild. But anyway, great to have you with us as always.
Always a pleasure.
And we do have a lot to get to this morning coming up. More weather and traffic beginning in our 7 o'clock hour. We're going to be talking with Eric Carey. He's with the Bahamas National Trust. We talked about that UN report a few days ago, which is just re-emphasizing. Yeah, all of it. Things that we know are coming, right? And some dire warnings that it could be sooner than some might want to believe, but the things we're approaching that window being closed on when we can make a difference on this. But Eric Carey and others will tell you we are already seeing serious effects of climate change in the Bahamas. Something not what they used to be. And we'll get details from him about that this morning. And later in Morning Glenn Business, we're going to take a closer look at what the Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism, is saying about the Grand Lucayan deal, where things stand with that. And it's happening right before our eyes, folks. The gas prices are creeping up. People were freaking out a few weeks ago when one of the stations here in New Providence had 537 a gallon. But now that's the lowest. That's the lowest now, because at another station it's crept up to 552. And that's New Providence. And people from the Family Islands will tell you, we wish our prices were that low. I know it's a little different over there in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But outside of the bonded area, do you know what the prices are like?
Prices are the prices, Stoy.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's a bond. I mean, and you can get, if you have a bonded vehicle, you can get bonded, you know, at a bonded price, but that's not the norm. So the average Bahamian pays the regular.
So you all are seeing these prices as well.
So it's about, five and change. I think I told you before, it's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
So what I try not to do is pay too much attention to it, because it's like I wouldn't put any fuel in my car. I'd just walk everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that might be best. I don't know.
You know, it's a good healthy move. So we may have to consider that what carpool.
Absolutely carpool.
Carpool where you can and. Just really think about, you know, the kind of when you decide that you have to go somewhere. Okay, I'm going to get everything done right now.
Right. Do everything in a loop so you can, right, not go back and forth and back and forth, perhaps. And we'll get into that, more on that in Morning Blend Business as well. All right. So a lot to talk about, but let's begin with what else is in the news. And in the news, the headline in the NASA Guardian today, government scraps a 5-day test. Tourism organizations are urging for more protocols to be dropped, though. But the tourism minister is stressing that the test to come into the Bahamas remains in place. So people will see scrapping test and think, nope, that's not what that is. It's the 5-day test after you've already been here. That's being dropped. Everyone still needs to test to come here. All right. For more on this and what was said yesterday and what's going to be in place now, take a listen to this report from our Jasmine Brown.
what is going to happen once the gazetting is done, effective immediately, what we knew as the five-day test will be eliminated. So it is the post-travel test after you come to the Bahamas, that test will be eliminated.
The most recent rules came into effect earlier this month, mandating that people traveling to the Bahamas or to other islands from either New Providence or Grand Bahama must undergo secondary testing on the fifth day after arriving. Cooper says the expected changes will not impact the tests needed to enter or exit the country.
For the avoidance of doubt, you still require a test to enter the Bahamas. What we are going to offer to our guests is a free rapid test for their outgoing travel. So as you now know, persons require a rapid test to enter the U.S., for example, rather than having the post-travel five-day test, we will offer that as a part of the travel health visa program.
When it comes to secondary testing, Cooper says the pending changes to the rules is a result of the much improved COVID situation in the Bahamas and noted that more revisions can be expected. When asked if there are concerns about there being an increase of cases with the elimination of secondary testing, Cooper said this.
We're not concerned at this point. If you look at the actual numbers of new cases and hospitalizations, around the world, you see that the numbers are very low. We're making the adjustments as we go along. We have recommendations from our stakeholders in the sector for further relaxation of our protocols. And suffice to say, we're looking at them.
Reporting for Guardian News Network, I'm Jasmine Brown.
Okay. Well, the pressure is on for the Bahamas and many of the countries in the region to do away with these protocols. Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell was in Belize attending the 33rd CARICOM Heads of Government meeting, noting that Caribbean leaders are being urged to scrap travel restrictions completely. He was speaking yesterday right here on Guardian Radio on the Guardian Radio AM show at 11 o'clock. Hosted by Quincy Parker yesterday, he said, quote, the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association, the Caribbean Tourism Organization are all being advised by the private sector in the region that we have to scrap all of these restrictions on travel to our country because we are now putting ourselves in a competitive disadvantage to our competitors. We have all these restrictions. The Dominican Republic has scrapped all their restrictions. Mexico has scrapped all their restrictions. So the commercial sector in our region is saying, look, heads of government have to make the hard decision that we have to live with this virus and scrap all these restrictions. Otherwise, we're going to lose our shirts economically. This is a highly persuasive argument. Now, Mitchell also said he's unsure which way the decision will go, but noted that Jamaica has already scrapped all of its travel restrictions with the exception of a requirement for a test 72 hours before travel. And, okay. We know that Bahama has already said that they're hoping that the government will scrap the mask mandate, especially for vaccinated travelers. How that's not received well by visitors to their property. And this just seems to be a trend that we're seeing all over the world. Many are just like done with this thing. But what say you all on it, folks? I mean, the numbers are looking great. The COVID dashboard, I mean, just this is fantastic, right? What we're seeing. And but I know, I'm sure some people think once you do this, then all of a sudden, right? Because we do, there's still pockets. Right. There's still pockets all over in various spots around the world where there are little outbreaks and stuff. But what say you all on this? Is this the right way to go? Do we bow to the pressure of the commercial sector, as the foreign affairs minister is saying?
Or we are absolutely going to bow to the pressure.
Oh, you ready? Okay. don't even ask about it.
Listen, Bahama is agitating for it. If Atlantis joins them, well, hey, mm-hmm. we'll be hearing a new update in terms of visitors having to, visitors, I guess, not being required to wear masks on property.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see what you say, folks. Give us a call, 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Did you see the video? I saw it this morning of Florida's governor. He really is.
Is he? I didn't see that. What did I miss?
I don't know if he's Junior Trump or Trump on steroids. He's something. He's something. But DeSantis, he's speaking at some event, and it's a bunch of high school kids, and they're wearing masks. And he's telling them, you know, you don't have to do this. You can take these masks off. And, you know, they giggle because they think he's being cute. But nope, he starts scolding. This is ridiculous. Take these masks off. Come on, this is not doing anything. Like, he's, like, angry.
Right.
And most of them do, except for one soldier who's not going to take it off. But like, what's up with that? I mean, people want to wear masks. That's their business, right?
Right.
Right?
Apparently, no. Not if he's speaking. Okay. Not if he's speaking. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel about that? Because, you know, a number of states in the U.S., they have relaxed their mask mandate.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you feel about that? Should we
I mean, if the hotels are saying it, then you can't do something for the hotel and not do it for everybody else, right?
Of course you can. look at concerts. Let's not say that.
Well, let's hope we've evolved from that. But
From 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Okay.
Yeah, but I've said it before. I think I'm gonna still in. If I'm in a long line, if I have to, God forbid, go back into a bank or something, right. Stand on line. Yeah, I think I'm gonna keep that out, keep that mask on, and any long line or area where maybe in the supermarket.
Maybe if you have to go to like the food store. Or
yeah,
something like
yeah.
That,
I think I might keep it up. And I was one of these like you can't make me wear a mask in a non. Emergency, declare emergency situation. But hey, I think I might keep it up. Let's hear from you folks. What do you say? Are you going to keep this going? I think we've asked this before, but flu season's always with us, especially in the winter months, and there's always something going around. What will you do? 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. All right, let's read some of your text messages. This is something about BPL. I don't know why you're in it. Anyway, regarding BPL, what's talking about BPL? In the year 2006, the PLP administration with Bradley Roberts as minister and Al Jarrett as chairman for political reasons in their attempt to win the 2007 general election, decreased the cost of electricity. From that point, BPL has been in a financial mess. I think they're trying to say, incidentally, the Bahamian people still voted the PLP out and Ingram and the FNM. Kicked that incompetent crew out. Okay. Well, thank you for the information. We remember. But we weren't really talking about that today, but okay. Good to know. Another one here. COVID infections have decreased all over the world. At the same time, people are still believing it has something to do with our actions. I'm just happy we stopped climate change by banning plastic bags and straws. Now you see this type of attitude. What is that about? You feel good about sending a text like that? Every little thing helps, but okay. All right. I can't wait for the ending of the mask mandate. It is totally ideological. Is that the word you meant to say? I rather bow to the commercial sector as opposed to, your friend, the good doctor who wants to keep all of us locked up and masked up to prevent us from coming to the hospital. I don't know who you're talking about, but I don't think anybody wants to do that. But sure, okay. This person says, I personally will burn my mask. I rather get sick than keep that foolishness on my face. I love human smiles and I miss it. You'd rather get sick than keep that foolishness on your face.
A bit extreme, but I guess what they, we'll just say that they're really tired of wearing the mask and they're not alone.
Oh boy. Are you having any issues around your ears?
I'm having issues around my ears. I'm actually having breakouts now on my face.
A lot of people have that. Mm-hmm. But like where the string goes.
Listen, that is so far and irritated.
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay.
So, let's take a you know, when you think of it like that, I'm like, I have to do this forever.
That's no fun.
No.
And then someone's going to come up with something. Hey, put this on. And then that's going to cause a problem.
I don't know if you see there's, I don't know what to call it, a plastic thing or whatever that you can put in the mask so that it isn't sitting right on your face, right? It's supposed to help you breathe better.
And what does that do?
Nothing for me. I tried it.
I'm sure that causes a further breakout or some other face to sweat or something.
It's like silicone or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
You're talking and the moisture from breathing. Oh. It's like, this isn't helping.
No. Yeah. Well.
So I know my ears would definitely appreciate the mask.
Yeah.
As well as my face.
Yeah. It's crazy. Let's take this call. Good morning. Call you on the air.
Doc and Weiss, along with you and your partner, you and your guest, Dwight.
Hi, good morning.
Dwight, we need justice, law, and order in this country. You know, 2 points I want to make, right? One is, I don't think we should be charging the old island people so much money for their living condition. You know, we are here who making it better to help those people on the family islands. And we should be doing that. That's the reason why most people come from the family island when they finish school and stuff to work, because they have it hard in those family islands. My other point is, right, the mask, right, they do irritate around your ears. The thing is, you want to stay healthy. You know, that's the problem. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
If somebody could come with a design whereby instead of using the elastic around your ears, use cloth. That would be better.
Well, I think are not, what's it like, a little piece of string.
Say it again, most?
Rope. Not quite elastic. Cool. Or it does stretch a bit. Yeah. But I hear you, cloth. Maybe that's going to add some cost to it. Yeah. But sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Something. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. People have been calling for family island development for as long as I've been around. And, we know what needs to be done to see that happen, but we don't really, some of us clearly don't want it. Don't want it at all. And if I say it, you're only going to roll your eyes and groan. He's on about that again, but you know what it is. You know what it is. We need to decentralize the government. We need to have more autonomy for these islands. If they can only live by decree from Nassau, it's going to be very limiting. Ask Freeport. But hey, someone's saying, hey, if you're breaking out, you need to change your mask more frequently. Especially for people prone to clogged pores. Okay.
What is more frequently, Dwight? That's what I need to know, because I change my mask several times during the week. So I don't know, because that's what I thought initially.
Well, you're good. You know, some people keep these masks for a month at least. Disposable ones for.
I look at some of them and I think they've kept it for more than a month, Dwight. They're brave to have that.
The start of the pandemic.
Based on the condition of this mask, I'm going to say that COVID is the least of your concerns.
Oh boy, this mask saw me through the pandemic. Yes,
right
from the beginning.
This mask and I—we've been in this together. We've been in this fight together.
This mask used to be blue, but now it's black. Yes. Okay. This person says here, I know that's not the topic you're talking about, but I want to ask a question. Prime Minister Davis said the old age pension disability would be getting an increase. I think it went in December. It's now March. What happened? You're supposed to get. Didn't some people get that? Okay, we're going to check on that. We're going to check on that. I want to say some people got that.
Was only for civil servants, so do I.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So maybe that's why some
people. Right. So the text, I don't know if they're a civil servant or not, but that increase was only for civil servants. It wasn't across the board.
Yeah, and those people did get.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas, we'll confirm that. We'll confirm that, but I think that's what happened there. This one says here, why are leaders and hoteliers still trying to discriminate between the vaccinated and unvaccinated when both statuses can contract COVID-19? This is stupid. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Another one here. Do you think we're ever going to get the statistics on hospitalizations due to second COVID infections? Did you read about how the CDC was withholding COVID data to make the case for vaccinations? No, I didn't read about that, but okay. And this one says a lot of people don't wash their masks, which is not good. You mean the cloth ones?
Because you couldn't wash the disposable ones.
You know, I am sure some have tried. But I mean, maybe that's all they have, and that's very sad as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight.
Hi, good morning.
Lauren, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Dwight, did any restrictions were dropped for traveling to the family island? I mean, seeing that they dropped an restriction.
Nothing more than what was adjusted a little more than a week ago, you remember? But nothing has changed other than that.
So, traveling from Nassau to the family islands, now you still got to take a test after 5 days.
No, I think that's going to be dropped. Right?
Yeah. It seems that's what they're dropping. That 5-day requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to take a test to go to the family island.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You don't think that should be in... You don't think that should be in place?
Well, I think that should be dropped too.
Really? Why?
I mean, because the COVID, as far as the dashboard is showing that, you know, it's dissolving. All right? And then it isn't increasing. So why don't we just, you know, drop some of these restrictions? I mean, as simple as traveling, because, you know, traveling, a lot of people haven't been moving about to the family islands for a while, and the family islands need the revenue. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's easier to keep things in place than to drop it, and then when numbers increase, to put it back in place and have to go and write all that stuff. And so keeps it simpler.
The dashboard, right? So it meant it's not saying moving it indefinite, right? You're just moving it for a while. And you could, and just how they was watching it over the course of COVID.
Well, we've had periods like this before, though, where there was very little happening, and then December came, and you remember
happened. But it wasn't across the whole world like how it is, right? You know, you're seeing the drop drastically across the world, not just here.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, what the government's going to tell you is that you can get free testing. And so the government's going to say, you can get free testing. So go and get a free test, and you shouldn't have any issue. And while this is, it might be a little premature to drop the test requirement entirely, but free testing is available. And until we really, you know, maybe 6 months or so, can really see that this is how it is now.
Right.
but that's not good enough. No?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
We'll see. But I hear you. I hear you. We'll see what they say. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Is the free testing for travel, though? Is free testing available if you're traveling?
It doesn't sound like they discriminate.
Okay.
It doesn't. Good. Well,
no?
I thought initially it wasn't.
No, that's what we were saying, that I wouldn't want, you know, if you're traveling. But it doesn't seem that ever became a thing. So, hey, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. This person says, hey, did you see the crowd at Bear Fest? I didn't, but there was an event over the weekend. Why was it that many people? Yeah, were they wearing masks? This person says here, I'm so ready to take these masks off. I'm starting to breathe hard now. Plus, I wear glasses and they stay fogging.
Yes, I know the struggle well.
One thing I've started doing is brushing my teeth at least 10 times a day. Because of the mask?
Yes. Yes, Dwight, because of the mask.
Well, that's great. Don't brush too hard, though. But that's good stuff. That's good stuff. See? There's a benefit. There's a benefit there. Do you think they will keep the enforcement of social distancing? I can definitely agree with that protocol remaining in place. Hey, they don't need a law for you to be adhering to that, right? You could tell people, back up, right? You know, or you just stand across the room from them. That one, you can keep that in place. Although, the banks should take it upon themselves to require that indefinitely. Because do you remember that, how things used to be? People would be like right in your shoes in a bank. Like, why are you so close to me?
Yes, you couldn't even step back. Just
right? No. It's like, wow.
Those were the days when you used to have to go into the bank.
Right. No, but I've seen the lines.
That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, tell the people who... Anyway, I've seen the line. Some people still stand a little too close.
Yeah.
This one says here, I'm going to use my mask for either diapers or baby wipes. Okay.
What?
I don't know. This one says here, I feel that whenever this pandemic is finished, food handlers and food servers, especially in restaurants, should continue to wear them as much as possible while working. Yeah, I don't think masks are going away. Some people are going to be. We're going to be like those other countries that we used to see, and there are going to be quite a few people still walking around when they have to interact with strangers wearing masks. And the good thing is they won't look like freaks, except to Governor Ron DeSantis. He'll think they're insane. But everybody else is saying...
He's going to make them take it off.
He's going to say... They're screaming them across the street. Why are you doing that?
Right.
But for most people, you know, this is going to be, well, you know, you're extra cautious.
Right. We may get to a place where it's optional. You know.
Yeah. It seems like it is now. This person says, I assure the Bahamian public that Family Island people want the testing to remain in place. Oh, boy. We don't need people coming in threatening our health and safety. Oh, you hear that? Okay. Dwight Laverne, suppose cases are dropping because fewer people are feeling sick when they get COVID, so they are not getting tested. Well, that is always
that's a possibility.
Always a possibility. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. All right. So that's all happening. And the health minister is saying that we've spent more than $500,000 on free testing to date, $525,000 about, and more than 34,000 tests across the country to date. And what do you make of that? Is that a good number? 34,000? Yeah, that's pretty. Since just late last year, it's
It's pretty decent. So people take advantage of that program. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And there are more testing sites now. There's now, there's like, you just turn around, there'll be a testing site. Like, when you don't need it as much.
Right.
Now they're everywhere.
That's what I'm thinking. Now there are more testing sites? Oh, okay.
But, okay. But, yeah, so, you know, we have been warned that there's always a possibility of another wave, God forbid. But should that happen, we are well prepared, finally, to deal with that. I don't know if the hospitals are, but no. Everything else is, it seems. So that's great. That's great stuff there. All right. So you can continue to call or text about that. There was some pretty good news yesterday. Some progress on the subdivision for our athletes. You remember this?
Yeah.
Athletes are entitled to land. But they've been granted land in an area with no infrastructure. And at least one Olympian has had to run a generator, I think, from the moment he moved into the house. And it's been quite a long, long time. Things are moving in the right direction with this now, finally. Take a listen to this report from our Berthnia McDermott.
The signing comes years after the Golden Athlete subdivision was conveyed to the athletes. For this, Works Minister Alfred Sears apologized.
On behalf of the government, we extend an apology for conveying the land and failing up to now, 20 years, to install the infrastructure.
Charles Stubbs of Stubbs Equipment is the contractor for the project, which started 1 week ago. In the absence of the infrastructure, one of the Golden Knights, Ramon Miller, still built on his allotted land, which was granted to him in 2014. Back in October, Miller spoke out and called on the government to assist with the issue. Sears admitted that the issue was only brought to his attention through Miller's advocacy. The contracts will include site investigations and surveying, installations of utilities, drainage, roadworks, and sidewalks, among other things. He puts the cost at just over $1 million.
The price of the contract is $1,227,953.10. And there is a completion date of 270 days.
The 23 acres of tract land, which was divided into 10 lots, were given to Debbie Ferguson, Tonique Williams-Darling, Pauline Davis-Thompson, Sandra Stirrup, Aldis Clark Lewis, Savathita Fines, Chris Brown, Demetrius Pinder, Ramon Miller, and Michael Methel. But while the infrastructure is on the way, some athletes like Golden Girl Pauline Davis face other issues.
At the same time, while I'm excited and happy, there's a part of me that's a little depressed because I now recognize that that beautiful gift that the Bihimbu have given to us, there are some of us, and that includes me, that are not at the age where we could go and get loans from banks. So what is supposed to happen now?
Meanwhile, Miller said he's grateful for the movement.
I want to say thank you for all the Olympians, all of my Olympians, you know, Shawnee Miller, Stephen Gardner, Chris Brown, the Golden Girls, all of us. You know, we really appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, this jump start and give them some motivation to be home and, you know, just to live comfortable here.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Berthnia McDermott.
Wow. Let's get your reaction to that. I think Pauline Davis-Thompson said it very well. You know, this is wonderful, but also...
Yeah, very, mixed emotions,
very,
Dwight.
Very sad.
Absolutely, mixed emotions. I mean, and, you know, you're happy that moving forward, everyone else who may, any Olympian who may receive property in that area, now they're in a better position. But for those who had property, who couldn't access it, or who there wasn't any infrastructure and they're at a certain age, well, we know they're not banks. You know, when you get a certain age, your opportunity to get a loan or get a mortgage, you know, that window closes tremendously. So
We don't tell the kids this. We don't tell them that enough. I don't know if they get it. You know, because that it comes up quick. It comes
quicker
up quick.
Than we think. Right? That's why they, I think, you know, not speaking on behalf of banks, but look at who they try to target, you know, in terms of their customers and in that area for loans and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, folks, let's get your reaction to that. And it is great that it's finally moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I couldn't imagine you've represented your country and then they give you a plot of land and you can't really do anything with it.
Yeah, yeah. Terrible. And again, to think that, right? Can you imagine running a generator every day?
Every day.
323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. This is back to what we were talking about before. People stand a little too close to you during these lines today. I think it's that slave ship mentality, oh boy, of being squashed on ships that is in the DNA of black people. You should do a study.
I think that's taken.
I don't think it's a black thing at all, actually. No. But okay.
It's just that, just like if you see it, you realize that people have become, well, some have become more relaxed in terms of protocols. And so they don't, even though you go into some stores and they still have the little, you know, stickies on the floor saying 6 feet, it's like people aren't really observing that. Before, you know, when we were in the heat of it in a wave, people, like, they stood on that. But now, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But I suspect this has more to do with the culture, a small country, small island nation type thing, as opposed to big city.
Right.
How close people stand to each other and everyone just feeling like, you know, people, the things that people say to strangers in a line show you that there's a familiarity around here, that it is very inappropriate in some ways. And I think, right, the things that people say to strangers, like, do you know him? Well, whoa. Anyway, and so people feel that they can stand a lot closer to you. Then
that's a part of the charm, Dwight.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's a
it
part
is.
Of the charm. You know, that friendliness, the ability to have conversations standing on the line.
Oh, and my God.
Sometimes you have the 4 or 5 people who are close together in these deep conversations.
Like, everybody's y'all must be friends. Nope. First time they've all seen each other.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow, because
so that is part of our island's charm.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've gone away, and now you've taken on that attitude where you just want to stand in the line and not say anything.
Oh, trust me, I was always like that. Let's take this call.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight, and good morning, Ms. Gardner.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm not gonna elaborate on the mask. I'm happy for the Olympics, the Olympians, that finally they get an infrastructure to come 20 plus years later. Now, and at a cost of just over $1 million, what I would suggest now for the government to do is go meet with all 10 of them and use another whatever it costs to get their house, the bell cost. At least the bell cost, and say, this is what we're going to do, because it wasn't your fault that 20 years later that you wasn't able to do, to get to build your house and do certain things. So this is what we're going to do. Because look, they would have done so much for the Bahamas over the years, and what they would have done in terms of monetary gain, I think it is only appropriate. And this is what I would highly suggest to this government, to do that quickly, take another $1 million if necessary, get every one of them to Belcourt and say this is a form of compensation for the inconvenience cost and the hardship.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a bold thought there. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. How do you feel about that, folks? Can we do that? Should we do that? Do we have the money for that? And do they deserve that? Yes, I'm sure they do. But, okay. That's interesting. Let's get your reaction to that. Laverne, what do you say about that?
I don't know. I don't know. I would say perhaps assist those who may be desirous of owning a home and maybe assist them somehow through the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, that's a tough one. This person says here, I wonder why the bidding for the subdivision never went through the e-procurement. Looks like we're back to the good old days, new day, my foot. Are we certain it didn't do that? Oh, well. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. It's always something. Always something. Let's take a break. When we come back, a little more of what's in the news. And coming up, we're going to be talking with the executive director of the Bahamas National Trust, Eric Carey, about the impacts we're already seeing of climate change on the country. This is Morning Blend on Thursday. Is it Thursday already? Thursday morning here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
Russian tanks advancing on Ukraine's capital of Kyiv appear to be stalled outside the city. Fighting continues, though, across Ukraine. This is day 8 of Russia's invasion. Olga Fedyarova lives near the capital of Kyiv. She says an explosion damaged her house.
I heard the sound of a plane, and I opened the door. And the door fell on me. And then little bits of plaster and bricks from the ceiling and everything. But I survived, and now you can see how all my windows are destroyed and everything.
Many Ukrainians are trying to get to a safe place. The AP's Tim McGuire.
The UN Refugee Agency says 1 million people have left Ukraine. Early figures show more than half of the refugees, 505,000, are in Poland. Another 116,000 Ukrainians now in Hungary. The rest are in Romania, Slovakia, and other European nations. Many of the refugees are women and children, arriving with little more than the clothes on their backs.
A second round of talks aimed at ending the fighting is expected later today in neighboring Belarus. Moscow says it'll continue its military action, though, because it says Ukraine's military infrastructure threatens Russia. The January 6th committee says evidence suggests crimes may have been committed by former President Trump and his associates as they tried but failed to overturn the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. The committee made the claims in response to a lawsuit by a Trump advisor. The House votes today on a bill that would dramatically boost health care services and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is AP News. Check your watch.
Fitbit is recalling 1 million watches after reports of burn injuries. Dozens of users have reported burn injuries because of batteries overheating in the Fitbit Ionic smartwatch. Fitbit says consumers who bought those watches, model number FB503, costing about $300, should immediately stop using the product and contact Fitbit for packaging to send them back. Fitbit, owned by Google, says it received more than 100 reports of the batteries overheating. 78 people were burned, including 2 with serious third-degree burns. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Gas is $3.73 a gallon this morning, up 6 cents since yesterday, up 19 cents in a week, says the AAA. It says Russia's invasion of Ukraine is roiling the oil market. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
First, a good traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic, we are seeing heavy traffic on Milo Butler Highway, as usual, from Fire Trail all the way up to Tonic Williams Darling Highway. That's going to be in the northbound lanes. Gladstone Road is also busy for you, just north of Fire Trail, in the northbound lane up to JFK Drive. Elsewhere, we've got Blue Hill Road, heavy traffic from well south of St. Vincent Road all the way up to Independence Drive, especially north of Soldier Road and the northbound lanes there. And between St. Vincent Road and Carmichael Road, you can see a lot of heavy traffic there. Westbound on Independence Drive, also busy at this hour to the roundabout with Blue Hill Road. The intersection with East Street and Soldier Road also congested, especially eastbound on Soldier and northbound on East Street and East Street between Soldier and roundabout East West Highway. Heavy traffic there for you. Building traffic on Eastern Road westbound from just east of Fox Hill Road to near Johnson Road and pockets along Prince Charles Drive. In the major intersections, you'll be seeing some heavy traffic there. We're seeing traffic building on Carmichael Road westbound to the Coral Harbor roundabout. And other pockets along Wolf Road this morning. That's what we're looking at. That's your real-time traffic, and that's your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Time for another check of your weather for today. We've got high pressure building across the country. For all areas today, look for partly mostly sunny and warm conditions with isolated showers becoming fair and mild with a passing shower tonight. Temperatures getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 64 Fahrenheit, 18 Celsius. In your extended outlook, a stronger high pressure system will build across the country, bringing strong winds and rough, hazardous surf across the archipelago. So for Friday, tomorrow, partly is mostly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers. Saturday, partly is mostly sunny, warm, and windy with isolated showers. Small craft advisory will be in effect by Saturday. That's your Morning Blend weather check. We'll be back with more Morning Blend after these messages here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
I have to take a business trip, and I want John to keep things running while I'm away. How can I ensure he keeps within budget? Maybe I need to get him a camera to record everything he does 24/7. Maybe not. Instead, get RBC Credit Share, the RBC credit card feature that allows you to easily and safely share funds with employees for free, and you set the spending limit, so you're always in control. Find out more at rbc.com/Caribbean/credit share. Special conditions apply.
Wake up. It's a new day.
For sale. It's our third look at this place. Let's buy.
Here we come. Home ownership is a big deal. So move in merrily with CIBC First Caribbean. With your new mortgage, you'll get half off the appraisal cost, commitment fee, and more. Enjoy up to 95% financing and a homeowner benefits card redeemable at selected hardware, furniture, and appliance stores.
Nice zone. We moved in.
Merrily.
Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/movemerrily for details.
Speed doesn't come easy. It takes your investment in your goals, your time, your full effort, full dedication. And when you think you've done enough, Do it again. It takes precision, not just doing it, but doing it as best as possible. Day in, day out. And just like BTC, I will stop at nothing to make the people of the Bahamas stand up and cheer. That's what fuels me and why I'm a proud ambassador of BTC. Because we share a common desire to elevate your internet experience so you elevate everything you do with it and make it the best it can be. Switch to BTC, super fast internet, and elevate what's next.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Quite strong, along with Laverne Gardner on this Thursday morning. Do you think you could get somebody if you're ever back in a situation and, you know, we're out of this COVID thing and there aren't social distancing requirements that if someone does stand so close to you, could put that as your ringtone and have someone text someone to call you so that that'll ring while you're in the bank? And it goes off, don't stand so close to me.
And Dwight, I think this is a you issue.
Because you might not want to say it.
It's a personal issue.
You might not want to say it yourself. It may come across who you think you are. But, you know, if the ringtone comes off in the middle of the line, don't stand so close to me, people might know what's going on here. I don't know. Just saying, some suggestions. Okay. So your text messages before we get to our next segment here. Someone says here, I think this is a text in response to what the caller was saying. Is this what he was saying? What's that now? Take another $1 million. I think they need to transfer that responsibility to a private firm. Do we see what they did with the baseball stadium? The government can't manage anything. Yeah, they may never get into that house. If the government has to take care of building it. Maybe their grandkids will be in the Olympics by the time that's done. This one says here, please advise Pauline Davis that while we understand her concerns, there isn't any more we can do. Otherwise, sell the land and use the money. Okay. Another one says, it's truly a disgrace, and administrations that have come and gone should be ashamed. Those athletes deserved better. Yep, indeed. And this text...
I agree with that, Dr. Mm-hmm. Esther. Yeah. And my thing is, you know, let's review it on a case-by-case basis, right? And not everybody may be in her position in particular. So... rather than doing something across the board, have that conversation maybe set up that she or whomever else may be in her financial position and they would like to build a home, and then, you know, they can have that conversation. So I would say do it on a case by case, because there may be some of them who don't even want the property or, you know.
Mm. Well, yeah, okay. And this text here says, this is back to COVID. In the Turks and Caicos, we have moved the mandate for masks outdoors. Indoors, though, still required. 100% church, restaurants, weddings, and funerals, and discos. It's for a 31-day period, so this may be a good test case. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Great. Good morning to your guests. I think that was a slap in the face to those addicts and the pavement people. When they say they present this land to those people, that's an infrastructure and everything was supposed to be in. And we could find money to do anything they want to do. 20 years ago, that's very, very long. And Mr. Sass, he was in power his government was in power, but he'd been in power about two times. So they did nothing for those people. We could find millions of dollars overspent. This one contract worth $1 million, he getting $3 million, and we think it hard to give those people probably would have been about $500,000 at that time to do that. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, so the person who sent the thing about the e-procurement thing, they're saying they're registered and there was no notification sent. So, oh boy.
Okay.
Here we go again. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Every time, do I?
Wow. This one says here, we need to ask the government why the fuel hedging strategy program left in place was renewed. Do you think you mean wasn't? Well, we don't know, right? Wasn't renewed.
It looks right.
Like it might not have been. Yes, we're asking. We've been asking. We want to know what's going on. Tell us what's going on. And someone says here, this is to you, Laverne. That's not a Dwight issue. I grew up in the Bahamas and I have the same issue. Yeah, that's right. Tell
us. Okay. I'm sorry, Texter, that I said it's a Dwight issue. It's a you and Dwight issue.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I mean, you know, I was just really Texter. I was just pulling Dwight.
You're kidding. Because you know you have this issue too. Yeah. Some people are like, can you take a step back?
Yeah, there are people who, and everybody has a personal space. And there are people who invade your personal space. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking with Eric Carey about the climate change, what we already see here in the Bahamas, what's already happened. I know he's going to talk about coral and I'm sure many other enlightening and terrifying things that we're seeing. Stay tuned for that right after this break. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio.
There's only one way to have a better morning. Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh crack and stack muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our client. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yeah.
are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, along with Laverne Gardner. And this morning, we are delving deeper into the climate change issue and the impact on the Bahamas. While that UN report we talked about a couple of days ago is warning that the window's closing if we don't make changes globally, and that small island states like the Bahamas are going to bear the brunt of this, are going to feel the brunt of this. Many will say that it's already happening and that it may even be too late. Eric Carey is the executive director of the Bahamas National Trust, and he's with us this morning. Eric Carey, great to talk with you. It's been a while.
Hey, Dwight, Laverne, good morning. It's good to be back. It has been a while, but, you know, it's always good to be back with friends.
Thank you very much. All right, so let's talk about it. I know what you're going to say. Just the window is closing, or has it... Is it almost shut?
So yeah, it really depends on the perspective that one takes and what science stream that one follows. Things are dire for the Bahamas, even in the best case scenario. So even if we're successful as a planet in keeping the projected rise to no more than 1.5 degrees. Centigrade, there are still going to be significant impacts for the Bahamas. And most experts agree that we will have at least 1.5. Others are projecting higher. The report talked about the possibility and likelihood of it going even to two degrees centigrade. That would be catastrophic for the Bahamas. Sea level rise, of a foot impacts places. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Stanyard Creek in Andrus or anyone ever been to Grand Bahama and the airport there. So many of our beaches, so many places that are next to creek systems and wetlands, communities in islands like Andrus, parts of Long Island that flood now in hurricanes that, you know, they never really flooded before. Our country will be significantly impacted. And the report, you know, there's a line in there that is striking for me, and I think I will continue to use, is that we may not have a livable future. We may not have a livable future in our country. And so for us, it is important that we act, we speak loudly. We are, of course, not a net polluter. The Bahamas, is a net carbon sequestration country. We protect our natural resources. We have some of the best and most significant and long-standing environmental initiatives, the oldest land and sea park, the most impressive national park system, and, you know, a system of marine protected areas that is envied and respected by countries around the world. So we've done our part. But, you know, that doesn't stop the fact that others have not done their part, and the industrialized countries, they continue to go to the COPs. They continue to argue for timelines to be extended before severe restrictions come into force. The longer they delay, the quicker our islands will begin to see increased and regular impacts.
Yeah. Now, while the report mentioned that we're going to see multiple climate hazards of the next two decades or so, there is a year in there that, they talk about the year 2100. And are you worried that people will hear that and say, oh, that's a long way off. That's not going to affect me. Only probably people who are babies now will be impacted by that. And that will diminish how much they regard this as being something that they should be paying attention to.
Actually, you're very right. People's reaction to that is going to depend on their outlook. You know, sometimes I talk to people about restoration projects. I talk to people about replanting hardwood forest. And they're like, well, you ain't going to be around to see it. Well, it really doesn't matter. I know that in the future, people will be the beneficiaries of it. right? Some people don't look, some people can't look beyond the next paycheck, obviously, but some people who can afford to actually don't. They don't think 5 years into the future. They don't invest properly, et cetera. So that if you are one of those people that take a short-term view of life, then 2100 is a long time away. If you are one that just even takes a medium-term look at it, it's just around the corner. You know, it's going to be 2030 before we blink, before COVID, as one of your callers said, dissolves. It's going to be 2030. And then you're talking about one individual's lifetime, average lifetime, street score 10, takes us to that point. So it's not that far away in the time span of life cycles and the life timeline of our planet. It's a very, very short time.
Yeah.
I think the window is absolutely closing. I think it's closing more rapidly. And, you know, 10 years ago, there were a lot of discussions about how quickly this is going to happen. The climate change scientists were labeled as alarmists and, you know, overreactors, et cetera. There are some who are still labeled like that, but fewer and fewer are labeled as extremists. They're now being regarded as respected in their outlook, and you find that the naysayers and the people who talk about climate change and its impending impact, they're coming closer together because the naysayers are also seeing the impacts of climate change and have to accept that it is real for them.
All right, we're going to take a break for news. We got to take a break, Laverne, for the news. When we come back, you can get into what you want to ask and more with Eric, including some real examples of what has changed here in the Bahamas, what we can find anymore, what we are finding that we shouldn't be finding, those type things. And we want to get into that with you after the break. We're going to be right back. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at morningblend969 or facebook.com/morningblend969. Text us 422-4796 on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC. And now at 8:19, time for another check of your weather for today. Brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance, just turned 8:20. We have a high pressure system building across the country for all areas. Your forecast calls for partly to mostly sunny and warm conditions with isolated showers becoming fair and mild with a passing shower tonight. Temperatures getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 64 Fahrenheit, 18 Celsius. In your extended outlook, a stronger high-pressure system will build across the area, bringing strong winds and rough, hazardous surf across the country. So for tomorrow, Friday, we're expecting partly to mostly sunny, warm, and breezy conditions with isolated showers. By Saturday, partly to mostly sunny, warm, and windy with isolated showers. And a small craft advisory will be in effect. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. What's first for you comes first for us. 7:21, time for another check of your traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC, Royal Bank. And if you're out on the streets in New Providence, you're going to be seeing a lot of brake lights in front of you. It's a lot happening. A lot of hot spots, the usual areas, you all know about them, and they're very hot today. Milo Butler Highway, heavy traffic well south of Fire Trail, almost midway between the roundabout with Fire Trail and Carmichael Road. I haven't seen it that heavy in a while. And that's all the way up to Tawny Glen's Darling Highway this morning. That means it's backed up along Fire Trail as well, almost midway between Fire Trail and Gladstone Road. Gladstone Road also having issues from Fire Trail all the way up to JFK Drive in the northbound lane this morning. Then there's Tawny Glen's Darling Highway, heavy traffic westbound to the roundabout with Milo Butler Highway. And on Carmichael Road, we're seeing the building traffic westbound to the Coral Harbor Road roundabout and eastbound to Blue Hill Road. Blue Hill Road also heavy traffic from St. Vincent all the way up to Independence Drive, the roundabout there, especially north of Soldier Road. Further south of Blue Hill Road, near the intersection with Calpin and Zion Boulevard, you're going to be seeing issues there. And then Zion and East Street as well, you're going to look for that. Issues at the roundabout, at the intersection there, heavy traffic there. East Street, the Soldier Road intersection, heavy traffic from there up to the roundabout with East-West Highway, Independence Drive, and Soldier Road near Windsor Place, also a hot spot for you. Then in Eastern New Providence, we're seeing Eastern Road traffic well east of San Susie. And all the way up to Johnson Road, heading to Montague. That's westbound, heavy traffic there, you're not going to be moving much. And on Prince Charles Drive at major intersections and near Elizabeth Estates, you're going to be seeing that heavy traffic. Foxhill Road as well, northbound to the intersection of Prince Charles. Bernard Road, westbound, and especially Soldier Road, north of the intersection with Robinson Road. That's going to be some heavy traffic for you as you approach that intersection, which has been challenging. Wolf, Bernard Village, and Soldier. Marathon Road, another hot spot for you this morning. And pockets along Shirley Street. Six-legged roundabout also heading back west. Going to be seeing some issues. JFK and the northern end of Milo Butler Highway there. So keep that in mind. Lots of hot spots this morning. Good luck to you. You have to be somewhere for 9 o'clock this morning. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Glen Traffic Alert, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Oh, yeah! All right! My beautiful island. I tell you, if the good Lord never goes on holiday, tell me why he made the
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Laverne Gardner on this Thursday morning. We are talking with Eric Carey, the Executive Director of the Bahamas National Trust, the BNT, and talking about the impact of climate change already on the country. Laverne, I know you had a question before the break there.
Yes. What I wanted to know is, you know, based on what, Eric, what you've said so far in terms of us doing what we can, what is it that we can do? Is there anything, or are we just kind of like sitting ducks waiting? Not waiting, because we see a gradual progression, for lack of a better term, of the impacts of climate change. But is there anything that we can do as a country, individually? What?
So, as a country, we need to do better and smarter planning. We need to realize that this thing is upon us. We need to stop building new hotels right on the beach. We need to stop removing coastal vegetation. We need to stop filling in wetlands and selling people's dreams which will in a short time period become nightmares, because they're going to flood both with sea level rise as well as they're going to flood with the increased intensity and frequency of storms. So as a country, we could do better planning in that regard, outlaw the development in these zones. So we need smart land use plans that take into account and consider the realities that the country will face. You know, we have lots of people that own significant real estate in this country that I suspect are going to start offloading it because they know that the insurance companies are already saying, we ain't sure we could insure that, okay, for any number of reasons. So the government will need to protect Bahamians, and they will need to protect investors from being offloaded land that is going to be a risk to development, because we as a people should say, you cannot develop here for any number of reasons. One, you're going to destroy a coastal buffer, which is important for to protect us from storms. Or you're going to destroy sensitive habitat for species that are going to change, that may start to move inland a little bit because the direct coastal area may start to get impacted. Or they're going to be areas that are, should be declared no build because they are in vulnerable areas, weather too low on the coast and too low, or in areas that are too low and are seasonal and some and becoming more regular perennial areas of wetland. So smart development, smart planning, and this is what we don't do in our country, enforcement. We have a lot of rules, regulations, policies. These things need to be enforced because the insurance companies, they are enforcing. My wife and I were looking to purchase a piece of property a couple of years ago, and we knew it was a wetland area. Our objective was to just purchase it and keep it as an area to enjoy. We didn't plan to build anything on it, clean it up, restore the wetland features, remove invasives. The bank would not give us a loan for it. They came and they looked around and said, and as the guy said to me, Kerry, you know better than this. This area is flood. I'm like, okay, yes, I understand that, but we don't want any to put any structure. She said, but then we don't have this as an asset. This will have no value to us because we can't, we can't hold this as a I forget the word they use. I'm drawing a blank. But so they wouldn't give us a loan for that, and I think this is going to happen more and more. If you own land and if you own ancestral land in Kent Island, Long Island, Eleuthera, those areas that have hills, go for your things. Because I think those areas are going to go, people are going to start looking at those areas, for, long term. Mm-hmm. And it is not long term because we are talking 20, 30, 50, 60 years that you're going to have to make these decisions about whether you're going to build a house or housing development in ancestral land or generation property or property that you own in a low area, or you're going to place that on the ridge. And these are the real questions and decisions that we can and will need to make as a people.
And on some of those islands.
I just wanted to say to his point about, mm-hmm. People offloading property here in Grand Bahama, there are certain areas, if you determine that you're going to build there, you cannot get insurance. No insurance company will give you insurance for your home if you build in certain areas that are known to flood.
Absolutely. And, Laverne, in Grand Bahama, that's a harsh reality. It's a very low island generally. So islands like Grand Bahama, certain parts of Andros, the Bahamas is one of the most vulnerable countries on the planet to the impacts of climate change, including sea level rise. And within our archipelago, there are islands like Grand Bahama, certain parts of Andros, which are at the pinnacle of this threat, vulnerability. So for those of you who live in Grand Bahama and who've invested in homes, absolutely, you want to hear our country, our government, to continue to speak on the global stage, to continue to sound the message, sound the alarm. And it is an alarm. I mean, we don't, in the field, working in the field of the environment, we really don't like to be termed alarmists. We really like to be more rational. We like to be more reasonable and reasoned. But we are reaching the stage where for certain parts of our country, you know, listen, you're talking about, you know, we want to talk about what effects are we already seeing. Mm-hmm. Grand Bahama and Abaco, you saw it for a really long time. It felt like it lasted a lifetime, Hurricane Dorian. It changed your lives. Some of you have abandoned the places where you were born and your parents were born and you grew up, and you've had to leave Abaco or parts of Grand Bahama and go elsewhere. So that climate changed Dorian is an impact that we already saw. Right. It destroyed forest. It destroyed mangroves. It destroyed freshwater resources. So that is an impact that we already saw. Ragged Island with Irma. I think it was Irma. I may be wrong, but
yeah,
people had to relocate. You saw cultural relocation. You know, so the things we are seeing already is the intensity of storms, lifestyles being changed, loss of significant habitat, freshwater resources being impacted, et cetera. So we are seeing impacts today. And also, people have been monitoring sea level rise in the Bahamas for decades. In certain parts of Bahamas, they have these tidal gauges. I'm told that the data is not 100% accurate because of a few technical issues that happened. But they know enough to know that we have seen rises in sea level in certain areas, and it is continuing. The earth is getting warmer. The ice caps are melting. The water is going into the oceans, and we are already seeing that in our country. And that is the greatest threat. That is the existential threat, that we will go underwater. We have something right now. People talk about the pandemic. The stony coral tissue loss disease could wipe out 99% of all of our coral reefs in a few years if we don't find a way to reverse it. And, you know, we believe that is the result of changing ocean conditions and making reefs more vulnerable. So we are already seeing these effects. We lose our coral reefs, diving, tourism, fisheries, coastal protection from storms. Our entire way of life as a country is going to be significantly and irreversibly changed because these corals are dying at such an alarming rate. You know, we saw this thing. We've known the stony coral tissue loss disease is spreading rapidly. It's around New Providence. We confirmed yesterday by one of the divers from Dive Abaco or Abaco Divers that it is now in the Foul Keys Land and Sea Park. So these, you know, even protected areas are not safe from the ravages of climate change and climate change induced or influenced diseases. So
tell us more about that. How widespread is it at this point from what we know?
Well, it's as wide. It is spreading widely. One of the problems we have is we can't get research permits for the scientists that want to go and study it. So this thing is wiping out our country's coral reefs, and we cannot get scientists in the water because the Department of Environment and Planning has not issued their research permits. So that's a whole other story. I don't want to get into that today because we'll be here until Easter. But it is very significant. It needs to be addressed because we need to get these people in the water to answer that question. How rapidly is it spreading? And can we start treatment mechanisms, prescriptions to arrest and then hopefully reverse the decline of this fantastically and phenomenally important ecosystem, our coral reefs.
Now, did you mean that literally, prescriptions, as in their medications?
We are probably going to have to help these along with chemicals that, you know, will hopefully It's a disease. I mean, these reefs have basically ocean COVID, right? And they are dying rapidly. This is one that is an alarm, and I'm going to start speaking about this loudly. I'm going to talk about this damn thing every day, because our fishermen, their livelihood is at stake. The dive industry is at stake. The stony coral tissue loss disease is an ocean pandemic that's sweeping across our region. It was discovered in Florida, now in the Bahamas, across the region. And we need the Department of Environment and Planning to please work with us, get our partners their work commitments, get these people in the water, finding out what's happening, and hopefully coming up with a prescription. I'm hoping that someone gets this message. Hopefully, Latrey or Clint, you all are listening. Please tell the PM this needs urgent and immediate action, and we need the help to get this done.
We've got a text here. Someone's saying, ask Eric if the government has any plans on implementing climate change legislation and an internal carbon credit trading exchange.
Yeah, so the government is very, from what I know, obviously the government has moved to climate change experts from DEP into the PM's office, Rochelle Newbold and Charles Hamilton. They are two top experts in the public space. So he's getting direct guidance from those two individuals and their network. I assume the government is going to introduce legislation, create a Department of Climate Change Affairs, whatever is required. That needs to happen. The Prime Minister, I really must applaud the PM. He has spoken a lot about climate change. Every time I met with him, he's had as a priority on the agenda. Everywhere he's spoken, the Prime Minister is absolutely saying the right things and saying it in the right places. And yes, we need to follow it up with action on the ground, and I'm hopeful and expecting that we will see more resources, human resources and capital, financial resources, put into government understanding and providing national mechanisms to address this. Carbon, I know that the government has a high-level committee with at least 5 cabinet ministers on it, and Rochelle and Charles, the Attorney General, they're working on a framework. I'm told they're working on a framework to deal with carbon, including how the Bahamas will assess, value, certify, sell, and trade carbon, whether that's on an exchange, etc. But I am told the government is being advised by international experts. We have had discussions with them about ways that the BMT can certainly assist in using our national parks and our experience to inform that process. But I am told that that committee is very active, and they are moving very aggressively to come up with a legislative framework to be able to then legally address the whole issue of carbon, the blue carbon especially, but carbon trading. Jerome Fitzgerald, SPA, is also on that committee.
I know we don't have much longer with you, but somebody's asking, I suspect I know what this is about, but they're asking about, they want to know more about why the scientists can't get the permits. Is this related to other people who come in here and profit off our natural resources and don't declare that kind of stuff? What's happening there?
In a nutshell, basically, we passed legislation to try and prevent people from commercializing our natural resources, our natural assets, through research. That was a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we put in place these regulations, which are draconian, in my opinion, a National Trust opinion. There are fees that are excessive for Bahamians, for Bahamian institutions, and it does not appear that there's there's any discrimination, any difference made, determination between non-commercial research, like trying to figure out how the hell we could save our damn coral reefs, and then obviously people who are coming here to thief and steal. We are smart enough as a people, we can figure out. Ryan Pinder, AG, is one of the smartest people I know, and I know he can figure this out. I know he's working on it actively, but we need to find a way. Let's go back to the old system until we sort this out, because we need to get people in the field. My team is hampered because we can't even implement some of the stuff that we want to do because the research permits taking a long time to come out. And some of our key partners, you know, Dwight, you work collaboratively with four institutions. They all have to get research permits. So if we get ours and they don't get theirs, then the thing, it can't happen.
Yeah.
But, so we're hoping that reason will and common sense will be applied. There's some smart people in depth. Dr. Rianne Neely, you have met, you know, brilliant. I am confident that they will sort this out, and I am going to appeal that they find a way to ease the restriction, ease the pressure.
Yeah.
Let's get what needs to be done, figure it out, and then we can apply retroactive conditions if we feel that something looked like it's going awry.
Final question. I know you mentioned sea level rise. We know that's a major challenge for us, but we know that finding higher ground is becoming more and more difficult in this country, especially on this island. You know, we've cut down almost all the ridges there. Where do things stand with that? Have we stopped doing that now? Is that
no,
illegal?
Every time I fly out in Nassau, they're cutting down, they're digging up in the pine yard, etc. So no, it hasn't stopped. And it's because of a lack of enforcement. It is against the law. The Department of Forestry goes out, tries to stop these guys, but nobody goes to jail. So until people go to jail for doing this, it's going to continue. We need to basically make a determination. If we need so much fill to continue to develop this island, guess what? We have outdone this island. Let's start looking at some of the other islands. Let's do population shifts. Let's move some aspects of government to other islands. I mean, you know, we have airports. We have more airports than one can shake a stick at in our islands. So we can move people between islands to work and for resettlement. We could increase healthcare in islands like Exuma, Eleuthera, Abaco, of course. Grand Bahama is there. So we can move some of these people off of New Providence, decentralize the system, get more people out there, ease up the pressure, and then we don't need to continue to cut down the tiny little mountains that we have. Our mountains grow slowly is what my friend from Jamaica says when he talks to me. And, you know, and they're not going to outgrow the rate at which we are destroying them. So we need to stop doing that, stop filling in wetlands, because one, we don't have enough fill because we don't have many hills there. So they're not even filling the wetlands to a point where you're selling people houses that may be 10 foot above sea level. They are basically just above the level of the flood plain. And in heavy rain or in small storms, even God forbid large, significant storms, those people's dreams are going to become nightmares. Where the hell does water come from in my living room? Well, it's because you're living in a converted wetland, and it never should have been converted.
Mm-hmm. Eric here, we could talk for hours, I'm sure, but we know you have to go, unfortunately. But thank you so much for talking with us this morning. I hope people are listening to you and paying attention. The window is closing, as you said, and we have to act
good.
Now.
Thank you very much, Dwight and Brian. You have a nice day. Good to see you. All right, buddy.
Thank you. We're going to take a break and be back with more. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF,
money at work.
Technology serves to make our lives better. So why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Maria is going away to college, and she needs access to money. But I'm worried about her spending. Maybe I can create an alarm that goes off every time she overspends. Or I'll just move in with her. Hi, Rumi. Or just get RBC Credit Share, the RBC credit card feature that allows you to easily and safely share funds with family members for free. And you set the spending limit so you're always in control. Find out more at RBC.com/Caribbean/Credit Share. Special conditions apply.
Speed doesn't come easy. It takes your investment in your goals, your time, your full effort, full dedication. And when you think you've done enough, do it again. It takes precision, not just doing it, but doing it as best as possible. Day in, day out. And just like BTC, I will stop at nothing to make the people of the Bahamas stand up and cheer. That's what fuels me and why I'm a proud ambassador of BTC. Because we share a common desire to elevate your internet experience so you elevate everything you do with it and make it the best it can be. Switch to BTC, super fast internet, and elevate what's next.
Drive happy with free fuel for a year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso. Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you are automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the CFAL Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Laverne Gardner on this Thursday morning. Coming up in Morning Blend business, we're going to get into the Grand Lucay and then what the Deputy Prime Minister and Tourism Minister is saying about the interest in the property. And we'll get into gas prices and as they make their way up, up and up and up, closer and closer to $6. Is $8 that far behind? And will even Laverne start to pay attention when it gets to $8? Hey, Laverne. Oh, boy.
Dwight, I try to pay not to pay attention. I know it's going up.
At that point, they got to pay attention.
Because I like it's like it'll drive me crazy, right?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to pay attention when it gets to 8. If it gets to 8, God forbid. But hey, who thought it would make it to 5? I remember when I started when it was $2.99. Like, 5?
How long ago was that?
Well, we don't have to discuss that. But my goodness. $2.99. Can you imagine? What would we do for $2.99 gas?
I have a threshold. I have a budget. Mm-hmm. And so once it goes beyond that budget, I'm going to just have to park my car.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. A lot, a certain amount that I'm, you know, I got this. I'm spending for gas. It's going to be between this amount and this amount.
Yeah.
So once it goes over that final amount, I'm just going to have to park my car.
Well, we're going to talk about that a lot more coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. But let's get your reaction to that great discussion with Eric Carey with the BMT just now. He's very passionate, always is. And I keep asking the question, are enough of us getting it? And when you look at that report, that UN report that says by 2100, people will say, well, I ain't going to be around.
But you know what, Dwight? You know what, for me, even hearing 2100, okay, you're not going to be around. But it isn't as if when 2100 comes, then everything is going to fall apart. Everything is falling apart now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So that's what people have to recognize. At 2100, it's going to be at like it, right? Mm-hmm. But from now until then, you are seeing it. You are seeing it. You're experiencing it. People who maybe are more in that environment, if you speak with fishermen, if you speak with these people, then you maybe get a better sense. So I don't want us to think that, oh, you know, 2100, hey, we'll all be gone, that little bee. Who? Listen, we are already seeing the impact of it. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing it and feeling it. And so as time progresses, in another 10 years, it's going to be worse. So think of it like that. In another 5 years, it's going to be worse.
All right, let's get your reaction, folks. Give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. And I know I'm not really, you know, taking a swipe at Grand Bahama. I'm just saying, as was discussed in the interview, Grand Bahama is relatively flat. You don't have the ridges we have here.
Swipe, that's a fact.
Yeah, that's just thing, right. So, but New Providence wasn't flat. And, we have in our wisdom just decimated all the ridges.
In the name of quote unquote progress, right?
Absolute foolishness. And, it continues to happen. Have you seen, I don't know the last time you were here, Laverne, but I know people who live here have seen it. There are parts, especially that southern ridge, on the East Street side, where the excavation is so severe. There are houses that are right on the edge of this. And like, how safe is that when you look at it? Like,
right?
What is that?
And then, so what happens to these environmental impact studies? Like, do people just not do them, or do they just ignore them?
Oh, but this started long before we even knew what those things were. And, but for some reason, it hasn't stopped.
Right.
It hasn't stopped.
Okay. You didn't know back then, but you know.
Or care.
Right. Or care. But you know now. So what's being done now? There are certain areas that it should be a no build zone, like Eric said, you know, and that should be for everywhere in the Bahamas. And, you know, I'm sure people in tourism and all of that probably cringed when he talked about building these hotels, especially on the beach and, you know, selling all of this beachfront property.
Yeah.
But if you think about the long-term impact, you sell it. But in the long term, these hotels, and you know, we're not being overly dramatic. It's a reality. You may find that these hotels and this property in your home is getting closer and closer to the water.
Or in it.
In the water.
Yeah. Let's give us a call. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Maybe you have some ideas on what needs to be done on not so much the governmental level. Maybe we can. Maybe there's something we can do. Messaging that you think needs to be put out there to get people to understand that we can do more individually in this fight against extreme climate change here. Let's hear what this caller has to say. Good morning. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
See, my thing is, they go cut down a lot of hills, and what happens is, if you have a sea surge, it's not even stop the water from coming over. I think they need to look at, to stop cutting down all these hills and stop digging up all these trees and stuff, and if you stop cutting them down, you'll have a chance. But if you keep cutting everything down low, you have no buffer.
Yep, exactly. That's what we've been saying, right? And it continues. It's insane.
And so what we need to do is to stop people from cutting down all these trees. On if you do cut down a tree for some reason, then you have to plant another tree in that same spot. And hopefully it'll be a native one, but like you said, we have to enforce the laws.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that.
No.
It's just like right. Everything buck up goes.
It does seem so.
And the people who try to, the people who try to do right, they come and they hassle the people who try to do right when you tell them. For example, if you tell a person, well, you can't park on the sidewalk because the person in wheelchair needs to go from one end to the next, they still do it.
Yeah.
And they'll
go on tirades and launch attacks on them, personal attacks on people who speak out. Right, Laverne?
If you go to...
Yes.
Say, you're going to go do something or you go to do something is always a problem.
Yeah. It's crazy. We've got to change this. Change this somehow. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, caller. All right. Is that another call? No. Okay. Got a few messages here. Want to read a couple of these.
Yeah, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, okay, we do. Yeah, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Glenn, is that the name?
No. Dwight. Dwight Strong.
I have a problem with the young people that go win the gold medal. People who governor give them house, right? Give them a property. They must build house up the Bell Coast too. They must try to be reasonable, you know.
Well, that was a suggestion by a caller.
Huh?
No, that was just a suggestion by a caller. He was saying that perhaps the government should do that for them.
Okay, cool. Because, you know, governor got a lot to do with so much to do, and then all that, the kind of expense, you see?
Yeah.
We got to be more understanding and reasonable. If there's a property where the governor give them, they should have, number one, get a water, light, do so, and then they... They'll go build up the Bell Coast, then the governor and the mortgage take over from there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, not everybody was agreeing with the text, with the caller. Very many, quite
he
a few people.
He can't get free all the time, you know.
Right, yeah. But thank you, appreciate your call. Thank you very much. All right, a couple messages, and then I want to read a message that I didn't get to yesterday. It came in late, and... really quite a heartbreaking message. But let me read these really quickly. Someone says here they're asking if black water sewage from cruise ships could be one of the reasons the corals are having this disease. That's an interesting question. Yeah. Another one says enforcement almost in every area of the Bahamas is costing us, the taxpayers, more and more. Let's get it together, please. Wow. Okay. So this message came in on our Facebook page yesterday. Yesterday was the second day we were talking about that disturbing video of the woman with special needs who's being beaten, it seemed, by her caretaker. And this person sent us this message. Good morning, Dwight Strawn. Abuse comes in different ways. I'm in my late 60s. My household speaks to me very badly daily. Most words hurt because I really don't deserve it. It's affecting me mentally, but they're all I have. And so this is on the Facebook page. So, I mean, I see the name of the person. So, I mean, we can reach out to her, but this is a reality there. There are a lot of people, vulnerable people, being treated very poorly all over this country by people who say they love them. And so that woman in the video, that's not a unique situation. Not at all.
Not at all, Dwight. It's,
men,
it's sad,
women, children, all over this country.
Yes. Animals, everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, folks, we have problems. we need to figure out what's going on there. The rush to violence, and that is violence, seems to be in our genes. It's the innate reaction here. And I know people are frustrated. Yes, I'm sure it is frustrating dealing with situations like this. But if you can't handle it, seek help. Hitting that person, you're not going to get them to understand at all. It's not going to work.
And like the young lady who posted the message, you know, violence with words.
Yep, even that.
Violence with words.
Maybe even worse.
Maybe it is worse. And we get away with it because we cannot see the physical, you know, it isn't going to show up in a black eye. It isn't going to show up in a bruise. But like, you are bruising that person's spirit. She said that, you know, listen to what she said. It's affecting her mentally. Mm-hmm. And then you feel, and she clearly feels stuck because she is relying on these people. So it's like, I have to sit here and I have to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. Hi. Think about that, folks. We'll be back right after the news headlines with Morning Blend Business. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn along with Laverne Gardner on this Thursday morning. And this morning we're talking about a number of issues in the business world today here in the Bahamas. We're talking about the Grand Lucayan, the very latest on that, and gas prices. Gas prices getting ever closer to $6. $6. My goodness gracious. We're going to get into that this morning at more of what's making business news. But let's begin, Laverne, with the Grand Lucayan. You're over there in Grand Bahama. I know many people there and all throughout the country are just waiting for this issue to be resolved. And we're told there is interest. There is interest in the property.
What does that really mean?
What does that really mean for the very latest?
People were interested. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out. Let's see if we'll find out more in this report from our Tashina Robinson.
Companies interested in purchasing Grand Bahama's Grand Lucayan Resort, the last government-owned hotel, had until the close of business today to make an offer. Acting Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism Chester Cooper provided this assessment as to what he's seen thus far.
We have gotten a significant level of response.
The process doesn't close until 5 p.m. today, so we don't yet have a formal briefing. But based on what I've seen, there are several what I would consider credible responses.
Previously, the government said it wanted $150 million for the 2,500 acres of prime beachfront property, which included a golf course and a marina site. The government purchased the resort in 2018 for $65 million. It takes more than $1 million a month in operational costs to keep the property afloat. The Minnesota administration struck a deal with Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines ITM Group to purchase the property. In December, the Davis administration and the Cruise Line Consortium agreed to pull the plug on that agreement. The government said interested buyers looking to acquire the property must have a clear vision for the resort as well as Grand Bahama's overall tourism product, in addition to possessing significant financial resources, among other criteria.
Okay, all right, Tashina Robinson with that report there. How do you feel, Laverne, after hearing that and answered your questions there? Are you feeling good? The deadline
yesterday?
I feel nothing.
So the report just said that there's I think it closed at 5 o'clock yesterday, and there was some interest. Okay.
Significant interest.
Okay, we're just at that stage. So it's still just a wait and see. So I didn't hear anything in that report that would cause me to get excited or, oh, okay, it's close. No.
Yeah.
Because at this point, with this hotel property, there's been so much back and forth and so much misinformation and deception and whatever you want to call it. I'm at the point where, no, I would like to see the terms of the deal. I would like to read it. I would like to get a lawyer to look at it and to say, what is this? That's the point I'm at.
Mm-hmm. But also, it could be significant, but what are they offering? I mean, they could be
right.
What are they offering? Like, yeah, we'll take this for, we'll give you a couple thousand for it, right? So, I mean, that's, what type of offers are these? Are they quality offers?
Quality offers, and there you go again. Yeah. So there's too many unknowns at this point, other than, okay, I guess maybe you feel a little positive to know that there are companies, businesses, whomever out there that are interested in the property. So that, I guess, would be a positive takeaway that there are people who are interested, but maybe they, like you said, they want it at like a fire sale price. Hey, we're interested in it, but hey, you know, it's been languishing for a while and what we have to pump into it, we're not willing to pay any more than X, Y, and Z. So
yeah.
It's all of that. But I guess, you know, if you're looking for positive, you can take away the fact that there is interest.
Yes, it is. Folks, let's hear what you have to say. Maybe you see it in an even more positive light. Give us a call. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. I didn't dream this, right? We heard that Royal Caribbean was going to come back again. They said that earlier, right? That they were going to try to make another after the one fell through.
Right. I think they were going to look for another partner.
Right. Another partner.
Yeah.
So who knows?
You did hear that. No, you did not dream that. So maybe they were successful in finding another partner, and maybe they are one of the groups or people, businesses who are interested. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. This is an old call. Is that call still hanging on there? That old? Okay, yeah. See what you're saying on the text line, and you can continue to text us. This is back to the environmental issues. The current government should really, really look into the cruise ship's impact on our water environment, especially now, and enforce fines to ensure our waters are protected always. Well, that's what they said earlier in the week. They're looking at the penalties for cruise lines.
And then enforce those penalties, right? Enforce those penalties. Mm-hmm. We're waiting now to see what the outcome is with Carnival, right?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what we have to do, because this is all that we have. You know, when these cruise ships cruise away and go someplace else and change their route, this is all that we have. Mm-hmm. And a great number of Bahamians still rely on the water for their livelihood. And that's the other thing, too, of getting the message across. You know, when you hear about the coral reefs and the disease that's, you know, affecting corals that seems to be sweeping over this region, you think, you know, sometimes we only think in terms of, oh, well, that's just something that tourists come and look at. But no. They actually, the coral reefs help to break up, you know, those terrible waves and stuff during a storm. So I think we have to try as much.
And the habitat for the fish that we love.
And the habitat for all the different sea life and all of those things. But we have to see how best we can figure out to get. We tend to react more when things affect us or impact us personally, right? Yeah. And so maybe we need to do a better job of breaking it down so that people, the everyday person, understands the impact that climate change has on us individually. So that it kind of sound the alarm, so to speak, as opposed to it just thinking maybe from a tourist point or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know? Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Okay, yes. I'm back on the environment. I think the government needs to put some more teeth in the environmental laws at this time. Sending a new crew of police officers to be trained as forest rangers have it where they go and go in these forest areas, the pine forest, and check for those shanty towns. First of all, put an ordinance on those shanty towns, get rid of those shanty towns, stop those persons that are doing mining in the forest, and those major companies that mining. I know we have to mine for curry, but we are actually mining and exporting curry, which I don't think is really good at this time, okay? And we also need to put teeth in the environmental laws, because you're saying you can't do this and can't do that, but the laws in the book state something different altogether. So what we need to do, train forest rangers, they are police officers, but they're department, I mean, they're duty is strictly to deal with the forest and the environmental laws. You understand what I'm saying? We have to put some teeth in that, man. Or else our environment will be destroyed one way or the other. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess that's one way you could do it, where you could just allow the forest rangers to have the ability to arrest.
Empower them.
Yeah.
So empower them to do it.
Get them into the police force. But sure, that is definitely one way to look at it. You know, I was mentioning the cruise ships, but I'm thinking, you know, it's such a tricky situation that we are in. We're so in bed with them, basically. But when you look at the names, these, we're looking at them to develop many other aspects of our economy. And I'm sure it's such a very difficult line for any administration, hey, to talk about penalties.
But you know what, Dwight, that seems to always be our problem, mm-hmm. right? When we seem to be in bed, using, you know, that term, with these developers, and we're in a position where we feel uncomfortable or feel as if maybe if we put some sort of sanctions or rules and regulations, it will affect whatever partnerships we have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, part of the deals that we make, we should be taking all of these things into consideration when we are forming these partnerships and alliances. Other countries do it. other countries, you want to come into their country, you want to work with them, you want to partner with them, you want to invest there. They say these are our rules, right? They say, you know what? We're a Muslim country, so you can bring your hotel, but leave your casino. And it is a, the investor still does it because they see how much they stand to make, even if they do not have. And so it, we have to learn how to negotiate from a position of strength.
Yeah.
Because when these investors go, this is still all that we have. We don't get a do-over.
But you get the sense that these folks are dropping these hints at the negotiation table. Well, you know, well, this will impact that port we talked about, or this thing we were hoping to do here. We won't have this anymore. And then you can see it just get, you know, I don't know if that is what happens, but it just seems like that is the case.
If they are dropping those kinds of hints, that's because our reputation precedes us.
Well,
you know, so you already know, well, once we just seem a little reluctant, then they'll acquiesce.
Boy, right? I tell you. Wow. That's terrifying. Yeah. Let's get another call.
Why would you realistically, seriously want those kinds of investors anyway? Yeah. So that's the other thing.
That definitely says a lot. Call us 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Okay. Here's messages. There. Some people trying to reach out to the lady on Facebook. The producer, if you can send me that person's number and I'll pass it on. This one says here, good morning. The property sits on a strip of gorgeous white sand beach. This is Grand Lucan, I take it. White Sand Beach, of course, there will be offers. While in opposition, it was a breakdown hotel and was worth nothing. Now you're talking in the spirit of excitement. Child, please. Did they say it was a breakdown hotel? They didn't say that, but they just said it wasn't worth buying for $65. We won't make that much when we try to sell it. That's what they were saying. Everybody, even the government was saying that we likely will not make the $65 million. And it was much more than that because they had to pay out stuff and pay off stuff and do all kinds of stuff. So it was much more than $65. But that was what the concern was, that it wasn't going to be worth it and we would lose. But there is so much potential. There absolutely is. It is a wonderful property. It has been, right? Laverne, what do you think? As a Grand Bahamian, what do you make of
it? It is a wonderful piece of property, Dwayne, right? It honestly is. It's a wonderful piece of property. There's so much potential there. There is so much that you could do. But you have to get the right set of investors in there.
Yeah.
Right? And then also understand that there is going to be, who understand that there is going to be a lot of work that has to be done. There's a section of that property that has not been touched per se since not Dorian, the hurricane prior to that. Is that Matthew? I forget the names. It's been so
bad. I think so. Yeah.
But it's like it.
Which part is
that? They haven't done anything.
The older part, the part that was, which part is that?
That is the part that is on, that is, I guess it's the older part.
The one that used to be a Sheraton?
No. Well, that hasn't been touched either, but I'm just talking on that.
Oh boy.
Right. So, you know, you have to take all of that into consideration, whomever is going to buy or wants to buy. And, you know, so, but in terms of the property itself, it's a beautiful piece of property. And with great potential for the right investor. And that is the thing. You have to be able to find the right investor who understands that I'm not going to be able to come in and make money off of this property from day one, right? That I have to have the resources that this is going to be a year or two where I'm working. And then in the meantime, I'm drumming up business for when this opens. when we're able to open them.
Okay, a couple more messages here. Someone says, I agree with the caller. A separate monitoring process like the Rangers that will physically inspect and check that the environmental laws are being enforced. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. They're going to need bulletproof vests, I can tell you that now. But yeah, I support it as well. I support it as well. It's going to be a tough job.
And then, you know, the Rangers will go in and do it. They have to do that. It'll go before the courts, and the courts will tell them to cease and desist.
No. No. By then, we would be evolved, and it won't be, the old ways will have faded away. Just like the ridges that we've cut down. The memory of the ridges will have faded away. This person says here, and with the cruise ships, we can let them destroy the environment that we depend on for a lot of our revenue. Yeah. It's really, absolutely. Okay. So this person wanted to help. I can read your name, right? Ms. Netta. Can you text us back? And that we need to get your number so we can pass it along. Text us back about that. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these gas prices. Remember, just a few days ago, the most expensive price for fuel in Nassau was $5.37 a gallon. That's now among the cheapest here.
I just found something that says Rubus is $5.52.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes. And we're going to talk about that. And as we get closer and closer to that $6 mark there, what will change about your behavior? Want to hear from you. Laverne says she has a threshold and at some point she will park her car. Are you prepared to do that yourself if it gets to that point? What will it take for you to do that? And are we going to have a serious conversation about public transportation once and for all, and whether we need to move beyond the talk of a unified bus system and look at something else, something more innovative and groundbreaking, maybe a rail system of some kind, because clearly we can't unify the buses. Is it time for that conversation? We're going to get into that after the break. This is Morning Glen Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Drive happy with free fuel for a year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso.
Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you are automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL. The government announcing that it has entered into a repurchase agreement with investment bank and financial services company Goldman Sachs International to cover general budget expenses for the remainder of the 2021-2022 fiscal year. The Ministry of Finance saying yesterday under the terms of the agreement, the government sold and transferred more than $235 million of United States Treasury securities, which are part of its sinking funds, to GSI, Goldman Sachs. They will then be considered for purchase in 24 months at a price of more than $206 million from GSI. Minister of Economic Affairs Michael Alkaidis said the two-year loan was essentially to bridge the gap for government financing until international bond markets are in a more favorable position. GSI agreed to purchase some securities that the government has, and the government agreed to repurchase them in 2 years. Alkaidis says it's a commonly used short-term instrument, and they didn't want to go to the bond market right now because they don't feel the market conditions are quite right at this time. Read more on this in today's Guardian Business section. Baggage screening device hiccups this past weekend caused flight delays and frustration for airlines at Lyndon Pendling International Airport, with JetBlue General Manager and Chairman of the Airline Operations Committee, or Operators Committee, Alan Sweeting, calling the incident horrendous. Sweeting and his airline colleagues making their concerns known yesterday during a meeting with NAD, Nassau Airport Development Company, and other airline stakeholders, or airline sector stakeholders, and acting Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, Chester Cooper. Sweeting adding that the airlines are also concerned about congestion in the terminals and the availability of jet bridges. He lamented that the passenger experience is being negatively impacted by these problems, causing airlines to falter in their performance goals in the areas of on-time performance and baggage services. Meanwhile, NAD President and CEO Vernice Walking telling Guardian Business yesterday that the concerns voiced by the airlines are legitimate, explained that the problems were caused by the airport authority's baggage screening cameras. She says a malfunction in the camera system caused more bags than usual to become red flagged and thus subject to secondary screening. She said the cameras underwent repairs yesterday. Chairperson of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation, Crystal Rutherford Ferguson, says there needs to be definitive clarity on what should be expected in the coming months regarding electricity costs so that businesses and the wider population can properly plan their affairs. The comments coming as crude oil is trading at a seven-year high over $110 per barrel, and as uncertainty remains over BPL's hedging activities, which would have locked consumers into lower fuel charges before the spike in prices. Rutherford Ferguson telling Guardian Business that as the cost of oil increases, it will have a knock-on effect on the price of electricity and shipping, and that these costs will eventually have to be passed on to the consumer, and that businesses will try as best as they can to hold pricing steady, but there are many factors outside of their control. The Central Bank of the Bahamas has now completed its integration of the sand dollar with the Bahamas Automated Clearinghouse, opening the door for sand dollars now be transferred from a digital wallet to any deposit account at a local commercial bank. Central Bank Governor John Rolls says that the BAC link brings the
Sandal, the world's first central bank digital currency, closer to existing in a seamless ecosystem between the digital and physical versions of the Bahamian currency. And Nassau Cruise Port expects to have several more six ship days this month and for the rest of the year. That's according to Nassau Cruise Port's operations manager, Marquez Williams, who says that yesterday's first ever six ship day signifies that the cruise industry has begun to rebound in earnest. He explained that more than 10,700 passengers came aboard the ships. Overseas, car factories idled, beer stopped flowing, cargo ships dropped port calls, and energy companies cut their pipelines. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has thrown business plans into disarray and forced a growing number of the world's best-known brands, from Apple to Mercedes-Benz and BP, to pull out of a country that's become a global outcast as companies seek to maintain their reputations and live up to corporate responsibility standards. Investors were drawn to Russia in search of lucrative profits they thought were worth the geopolitical risks. That calculation has changed after Russia's war triggered a wave of global sanctions and export restrictions that have thrown its economy into turmoil and disrupted the operations of multinational corporations there. Many companies also expressing concern about the plight of Ukrainians, showing how they want to be seen coming out on the right side of history. And from the U.S., Best Buy reporting a shortfall in sales for the holiday quarter as the U.S.'s largest electronics chain struggled with limited supplies of holiday products and was forced to reduce store hours because of a shortage of workers due to Omicron. The chain, based in Minneapolis, also announced profits today in line with Wall Street expectations. Shares rose nearly 5% in pre-market trading based on an upbeat long-term outlook. Like many retailers, Best Buy struggled with rising costs for everything from labor to shipping to supply chain backups as they hit companies worldwide during the holidays. The electronics chain also had to navigate global chip shortages. This past holiday quarter also offered an extra challenge, a contagious new variant, Omicron, that forced many workers to take sick leave and pushed some companies to cut hours. However, several other major retailers like Target and Walmart were able to push through the supply chain challenges and report strong sales. Closer to home in your market watch, recapping trading on the BSIX from Wednesday, your market movers, Commonwealth Brewery, moving 100 shares, closing unchanged at $7.99. Focal moving 25,600, down 1 cent to $3.93. Consolidated Water unchanged at $1.96. Emir Incorporated unchanged at $11.44. The BSIX All Share Index closing at 2,246.33, down 0.44. That's your market watch. And that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Morning Glenn Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, along with Laverne Gardner on this Thursday morning. We're going to get to the gas prices in just a bit, getting some of your reaction to what we've been talking about so far this morning. This text here. I agree with the caller. Did I read this already? A separate monitoring process like rangers that will physically inspect and check that the environmental laws are enforced. That's a good idea. But somebody else is saying, oh, please, rangers, what do the COVID police do? A couple other people saying that as well. We've got all these COVID police people sitting around. Perhaps they could become forest rangers. I think we do kind of want the people to know a little bit about the trees.
Kinda. Hi, everyone.
You kind of need them to know. They just not just plop some people there to... But but I hear you. Maybe they can be trained. Maybe. But we do need them to have. If we do this, need them to have some ability to
make an arrest if something's going down and not have to rely solely on the police.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it would be like a force.
You gotta empower them.
Mm-hmm. This person, yeah, they're going to say, they're not saying it's not a good idea. I'm just saying that I have no faith in the execution. I guarantee they'll have nice green uniforms and fun in all-terrain vehicles, and that's about it. Well, I think about the Defense Force. I mean, do you see them as, I'm sure some will say yes, but it's not all fun and games for them. They do a lot of work as well, so maybe. I think we have another call. Well, no, okay. More messages, though. Somebody says here that's one of the main reasons why we need a police helicopter to be the eye in the sky. Look at all them forests to see what's going on, good or bad, in them thick bushes. Other than that, we're living in the dark. Mm-hmm. Okay. This text here, imagine this scenario. An investor who knows the man next to the prime minister, the one who has his ear, is not above writing letters to ask investors for personal financial aid. What would that investor be willing to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure we've lived through that scenario before. No? Okay. Another one here. Talking about the gas prices. Okay, so let's get into it. The prices now, what were they before? I think some of them were, let's see if I can find it. All right. So just yesterday, this is yesterday? Well, last week, the prices ranged from $5.16. And we had a $5.19 and $5.37. Today, the station that had 516 is up to 552. The stations that had $5.19 up to 524, and 537 holding steady. So they're creeping up. They're creeping up, and it's only a matter of time, as we've been warned, that by the spring, and spring is only about 2-3 weeks away, that it would be $6. With what we have been experiencing, not just what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, but the global supply issues still being an issue here. And what will you do in this environment, in this scenario, if this is the way it's going to be as we head to the summer here? Will that change anything? Does it need to change the conversation in this country? Do we have to get serious? We know every single administration has promised to unify the bus system. Clearly that is not meant to be. We just need to let that go and create something new. Create something new, a new system, maybe more advanced than buses, diesel, dirty, smelly diesel buses. Maybe electric, maybe a rail. Maybe a light rail, maybe overhead, like something like the metro rail. And that's a lot of money, but you know, there are people out there, there are groups out there, there are agencies out there who would be willing to help support something like that for congested New Providence. Is it time that we think about something like that? What say you on this? Give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Last week, Laverne, I mean, that was shocking. I don't know. A couple people picked up on it. The conversation we had with the taxi cab union president, and the fact that the meter cab system was clearly different, separate from the taxi cab system.
Right.
They had different rules, and that there is apparently nothing stopping someone from trying to start a meter cab company.
No.
And perhaps this is what we have been talking about for years on the show. Why don't we have cabs running around here the way they do in other cities where you can call a cab?
We used to.
Right? The little beige colored Mercedes Benzes, which were also diesel.
So what,
used to
I wonder
be all
what
over
happened.
The place.
What company, happened to them? Yeah.
Don't know. The company fell apart. It's gone. But there's nothing stopping it.
Because we used to over here as well. I'm not sure if we still do, but we absolutely used to.
And perhaps the more, you know, more than a bus, but less than the taxi cabs, maybe a meter cab could be doing the fares based on the meter to do the. Somebody wants to go to the supermarket. Somebody wants to go to the movies and doesn't want to drive.
So what happens now? Let's say so the taxi driver just tells you what your total is.
Yeah, because it's a set rate by the government.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people were texting us last week that if you want to go to the from the airport to maybe right there on the Delaport or Orange Hill Beach, which is, the planes are practically flying into your house.
Right.
$30. So come on. But let's hear what you have to say about it. Is it time for us to really start thinking outside the box? And this is embarrassing to call that thinking outside the box, because that really, come on. That's, but yes. What are we going to do when that hits $6, $7? We're just going to say, oh, well, it's just the way of the world. Everything's going up. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Text us, tweet us, Facebook us. Yeah. That sounded like an opportunity there, right?
That sounds like a good business opportunity for somebody or somebodies. You know, you get together and you have a metered cab.
Someone's telling me I shouldn't be talking about this on the air because we should be doing this business together now. But yeah, right. We're going to need all hands on deck. But maybe this is the answer, right? Not the people be willing.
I wonder how much pushback you would get, though, eh?
Well, they were coexisting before, weren't they?
Oh, very true. Very true.
And I know that maybe they were always focused on the tourists in downtown and the hotels. Maybe they can continue to do that. Maybe the meter cabs can be focused on elsewhere.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
maybe. For the locals, so to speak.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
And as we are clearly wrapping things up with COVID, when we get back to festivals and clubs and restaurants and pubs, and people may say, yeah, I don't need to drive. I've had a few drinks. Let me just catch a meter cab and get home safely. This sounds like a no-brainer.
Dwight, it sounds like you are forming your business plan. We'll have to discuss this more off air, how we're going to get this done.
Right. All right. Folks, text us. What was happening here? You're just going to take the money? Spend all your money on gas? Yeah, 422-4796. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us. Like you said earlier, right? And a lot of people just take, what's the point of, what are you going to do? It's not like you can park your car. But you could. You actually can. And in other countries, it's very easy. It's very easy. It is encouraged. It's encouraged. You might not even need to have one, because there are options, not just one option with public transportation. But it just doesn't seem to be what we are encouraging here for some reason. What could that be? We'll think about it more during the break. Let's think about that more during the break. We want to hear from you when we get back. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in.
For what?
But he fooled with your girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Penn. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Drive happy with free fuel for year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso. Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you are automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we've got your final look at weather for this morning. We've got a high-pressure system building across the country for all areas. That's going to mean partly to mostly sunny and warm conditions with isolated showers becoming fair and mild with the passing shower tonight. Temperatures getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 64 Fahrenheit, 18 Celsius. Right now in Nassau, it's about 76 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. In extended outlook, stronger high pressure will build across the country, bringing strong winds and rough, hazardous surf over the country, over the islands. So for Friday, tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warm, breezy as well with isolated showers. Saturday, partly mostly sunny, warm and windy with isolated showers. The small craft advisory will be in effect. That's your Morning Blend weather check. We are back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Laverne Gardner talking about what's in the business news world today. We've been talking about the Grand Lucayan and cruises and pollution, and talking about gas prices now and what our reaction should be to the fact that it is clear, getting closer and closer to $6 a gallon for fuel in this country. And what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do when you see that? And people are just, it seems, well, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. Listen to this text. Somebody says here, and this isn't the right attitude to have. But anyway, on some of the Family Islands, gas is already $6.40. So I'm trying to figure out what you guys in Nassau are really talking about. I say, welcome to the real world, Nassuvians. And that's really sad and really, really unfortunate.
Here's the thing, though.
Right. It's 6:40 now, but
right,
as so, ours is 5:52.
Right, you should be up in arms as well.
Yeah, exactly. $7.
If it's already six something there, so it realistically may go up to $8, $9.
Yeah. And, you know, on many of these family islands, I mean, you, a lot of people aren't driving around the little hatchbacks. You have to drive bigger, heavier vehicles, trucks and big SUVs, heavy duty, sturdier vehicles, which will consume a whole lot more gasoline. And so this is going to be a nightmare, if it isn't already in your eyes, a nightmare. So that this is terrible. This is terrible. And you've got longer ways to go. I mean, we don't have far to go here. So this is worse for you. Much worse. This person says, yeah, great show as usual. No man in Nassau should park their car because Joe ain't parking his car. I won't even begin to pretend I know what you're talking about. Who? What? Do you get that? What's that mean? No, Laverne? No, you know, I don't know what that means.
I was completely lost, so I was hoping that you would have brought
clarity. I have no idea. Is it like a my mind went to I don't know, Sweethearten? I don't know what. So Joe, what, will come and take your girl out? What are you saying? What? I don't get it. Okay. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hugh Dwight, morning to you, Laverne, Seattle, and Johnson. Just wanted to put some input on the Grand Bahama Hotel. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. When you look at the hotel, right, it's a tremendous buy as it is, even though they're asking about $90,000 more than we originally paid for the hotel. The problem with the hotel is that there's a number of major things that has to be done. Laverne, the Memories Resort is the one that's most likely suffering from asbestos and pipes that you have, those cast iron pipes, et cetera, that you have to get rid of. That's the west part. The east part of it is kind of an older hotel that may need some upgrade to meet this new 21st century type environment. That's the Lighthouse Point. Then you have the middle hotel, which is the Grand Lokaya, that also needs some work and upgrade, considering that it's been hit by two hurricanes and water and everything of intruding. So though they may have mitigated to a minimum, it's going to have to meet some new some new standards and some new major upgrades. But the problem is not going to be the fact that those little over 1,500 rooms or 1,200 rooms, whatever it is, if you just count them as being there, just simply being replaced, is that the Grand Bahama is going to need, based on competent studies, at least 10,000 rooms to reach what is called hospitality neutrality, where you can make money and pay your bills but not lose any money. And so the question is, what is the master plan for the Grand Bahama hospitality and tourism industry? And so I think the problem is going to be where somebody comes in for the hotel. By the way, that hotel already had three claims for insurance, so you would not necessarily be able to get any insurance on the hotel as it is. Now you're missing an airport that has the same problem, that has totally been devastated, and you can't get insurance on it, but on that location, because it's been hit. So there has to be some master plan for government and everything to become involved to make sure that those things can happen. But at the same time, it needs a master plan to say, what are the products, what is the deliverables that you can bring? The hotel alone cannot be the anchor for the rebirth and redevelopment of the hospitality industry or any industry on Grand Bahama. And so the problem is that we have not had a discussion as to maybe an economic council or something of that sort that looks specifically to the infrastructure and possibilities on Grand Bahama, not the replan that the Port Authority brings, that's within their interest, and they have not expanded onto how they're going to execute. They keep saying what. So I'm simply saying is that Grand Bahama, and it needs input from all behemoths, because without Grand Bahama, this economy is in trouble. Because you saw where we have to give up some bonds now just to finance ourselves to the end of this fiscal year. We need some foreign currency churning in here. And one of the ways for that is for Grand Bahama to reimagine itself and begin to have some directed action on this island, including the construction industry, that allows us to stimulate the wider behemoth economy as we begin to fine-tune these type of economic models that we have. And so we have to have succinct conversations in the reality of what is it we possess, the reality of what it is we are trying to achieve, as opposed to simply wishful talking around the things. This is a data-based decision that has to be made, not one where you say, I think, I feel, I hope, I wish, and we could, we might. And this is not. This is the time now for the best of the best of us to get into a room and not to agree, to argue our way out of the room in consensus as to what has to be done to save this country and Grand Bahama paying a key role in it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Really do. Thank you. All right. Some other messages here. Text line. Someone says here, we don't have to guess at this. The U.S. Embassy is giving money and assistance all over the place. Okay. You mean the State Department? That's what you mean? Anyway, who has more forest to protect than them? Ask them what they're doing. I'm positive they're using a combination of manpower and technology to monitor their reserves. Maybe they can bring in a team for a year or so to train 10 people. We're the size of their backyard, should only take about 3 to 4 experts. I don't think that's what the issue is. It's money. It's been the issue that we've had the forestry unit on every year during forestry week they do, and they're always talking about how understaffed they are.
Yeah,
and
underfunded.
That's because of money. That's because of money. They, right? So, yeah. They know what they need to do.
We have some people in there who have the expertise, but they are underfunded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and maybe that speaks to how important we see, you know, the importance of that ministry. That speaks to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. But hey, you know, those stuff, that most of that stuff happens in the dark. We're talking about them. Also talking about the ridges here that in broad daylight being mowed down while everyone's driving by. That is also a big
that's what
big,
we call progress, big Dwight.
Problem. Oh, okay. All right. Sure. Yeah. I remember back in there, these cars back then, they were so underpowered, they could barely take a hill, right? Especially if you were driving a stick shift. It was a big challenge. I used to think that was the reason why they mowed down the hills, because these little wimpy cars just couldn't drive up a hill. But that's not it. Not it at all. My goodness. All right, so we've got clarity on who Joe is, Laverne. Joe is the man, the girl is check on the side.
Oh, okay. So
how
you
do you know that Joe's
right?
Not? Yeah, I figured.
I figured. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but well, how do you know Joe's not an environmentalist or also concerned about his wallet? He's got to keep this. Yeah. Anyway.
leave that right there. Just leave that right
hey,
there.
Yeah. That's it for us today. Laverne Gardner, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next, followed by Guardian Radio AM